Hi, I'm Heather.
And I'm Brittany.
We are the okayest moms, but we're also creatives, businesswomen, and best friends.
This podcast was created as a community for the modern mom.
We know you're doing your best despite the conflicting messages that you aren't doing it as well as someone else.
We believe in self-care, mom friends as our sanity, and that motherhood looks different for everyone.
Most of all, we believe that you are more than just mom.
So join us as we talk about a range of topics from motherhood to frivolous reality TV and everything in between.
Welcome to the Okayest Moms podcast.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Okayest Moms, the podcast. Heather here along with Brittany.
Hey.
All right. So we have been doing a lot of TV watching. I mean, which isn't really unusual for us. It's been a while since we've done a TV episode, so we thought this was the day.
I'm excited.
Have you been watching anything good? I feel like we're like starting to hit this place where there isn't a lot filming right now. We tried to watch a movie last night, and movies aren't a thing. I feel like I said this before, but I'm not a big movie watcher. So when I want to watch a movie, AJ gets so excited, and he loves a movie. And there was nothing because no one's really filming movies right now.
I know, it's so weird.
So yeah, I just feel like we're kind of maybe hitting a rough spot with TV here. Hopefully not. Hopefully we can keep some stuff going, but.
I know. It's so funny you said that you don't like a movie, because neither do I, but I'll sit and watch like 5 episodes of a show.
That is way different. Watching like 5 20-minute episodes of something is completely different than watching something for 2 hours straight.
Yeah.
I can't explain it. It just is. That's it. All right. Well, let's take a quick break and then we will jump in to our favorites. We're going to start with Bravo.
This episode is sponsored by Regency Centers.
The Willow Shopping Center in Concord, California is a sprawling power center located off Freeway 680 in the East Bay with a robust lineup of retail, eateries, services, and fitness, including Old Navy, REI, and a UFC gym. Relax in the spacious outdoor patios, which sounds perfect right now for social distancing, and integrated seating areas along with lush landscaping and nature-inspired accent.
Willow Shopping Center is part of the local community. Its retailers and culture reflect the lifestyle needs of the neighborhoods that surround the center.
I love that Regency Centers always takes into account the demographic of the people around them so that the stores that they offer in each center really reflect the needs of the community. In addition to the Willow Shopping Center in Concord, Regency Centers has 28 other local area shopping centers to meet all your essential shopping needs. Visit regencycenters.com to find a shopping center nearest you.
And we're back. All right, Heather, let's start with Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
We haven't even talked about this yet. I can't believe it.
I know. And we're on episode 4, 5?
I think 4. I don't know. You know I can't count. So my initial impression, I loved it. And I feel like it kind of took a little bit of a dip. But now I think maybe it's going to self-correct. And I have a couple of theories why we've gone off the rails a little bit. What was your initial reaction?
I loved it. The first episode was gold. I feel like they found a good group. I was really worried. I didn't even watch the trailer for months after it came out because I was not interested. I don't know why I thought they would disappoint me. But
and then you were so deprived for television that you're like, yes, I will. If Bravo is producing it, I will watch it.
Well, that's the reason I'm watching OC, but yes. But I like it. I think we have something here.
I mean, to come out with "you smell like hospital" in a first episode, that is probably like top 3 housewife disses of all time.
To have like a multi-episode arc with this insult as the main focus.
Smell like hospital. And I mean, I know what she's talking about. I understand what Mary was saying, but also, can we talk about her getting her odor glands removed? Does she mean like the glands that she smells with or the glands that produce a smell in her body?
I think that her armpits. That was
Okay. So she means like her smell glands.
Right. Which I would, it sounds great, honestly.
Yeah, but as we saw, you can just get Botox for that. Right. So this is code for like major reconstructive plastic surgery. Oh, right?
Probably.
Okay. As long as we're all on the same page. Okay. So here's my theory of why this took a plunge in like episode 2 through 3. I think Jen she's clearly also a Housewives historian and has watched every episode ever. And she has now gotten this view of what she thinks a housewife should be. And she is trying to be that. Like, remember in Atlanta when late in the seasons, when Nene discovered she had become a GIF, and then all of her confessions focused on her trying to be more GIFs.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I feel Jen Shah is trying to do right now. And but this last episode, she seems to be settling in, and I think maybe we're going to be okay.
Yeah, I definitely think she's going to make a good housewife. If anything, just for the over-the-top extra-ness that she's giving us.
I don't understand her lifestyle, which is already like keystone number one for being a good housewife.
Right.
Because when her husband picked her up from that Roaring Twenties party, which, like, by the way, if you have Roaring Twenties party on your Salt Lake City Housewives bingo card, you're good, because every franchise must have a Roaring Twenties party.
They must dress up as flappers.
And they're getting it out of the way very quickly, which I appreciate. It's like,
there'll probably be another one in like season 3.
It's like Andy has mandated every franchise must have a flapper party. And they're like, you know what, Andy, we're getting that out of the way now.
Well, it's better than a Met Gala.
Okay, we'll get there. Jen's husband showed up in an old Toyota Sequoia, which is, I mean, that's fine. It's a great car, but she drives around. She is driven around by one of her four assistants in a Porsche. So like,
I didn't even notice that.
Where's the breakdown here? Obviously he must be a much more practical person. I don't know, but.
In that chalet that they live in, it's wild.
I know. So, but also, I mean, I'm getting whiffs of Sonia Morgan here with all of her employees.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I like it.
Yeah, but it's intriguing for sure. And she's annoying, which is also like a key housewife. Right.
She just needs to like tone down the wacky a little bit. Like, that's why I feel like Sonia really shines. So she knows what's too much wacky and like she knows like when it's too much and she reels it back. So Jen, I think, needs to focus on that.
Yeah, she's new. She'll get it.
Right. She just came out a little too strong. All right. Speaking of Jen, let's talk about her showing off her vagina, as Meredith's son said.
You know, first of all, I can't tell the difference between, is it Meredith and Lisa?
Only both
right. And they look alike. And I can't keep them straight in my head. If they're next to each other, I don't know who's who.
Well, Meredith has that terrible wig in one of her confessions, which is pretty
okay. I mean, I'll get it. I just, right now, it's like they're too similar.
Yeah. So Brooks is her son, who right off the bat I loved. But then he started in on Jen, basically. And I didn't feel like that was a very good look.
I think he's trying harder than Jen to be a character on this show.
Oh, for sure. But also he has a confessional. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously Bravo sees something there that they're giving him that spot, but I don't know. The whole thing, I saw this comparison online and it just like, I was like, whoa, this is dead on. They compared it to PK in Beverly Hills talking about Erica and the whole Pantygate
thing. Yeah.
And it just was like so many shades of that. And Jen was faced the other way. So it's like, you really didn't see anything.
No. Yeah. And it's just a way to call her out.
I didn't like the whole thing. It's just,
it felt icky.
Stop trying to be relevant. You're fine on your own. You'll get there.
Yeah. Also, he could be, he's funny in his confessionals. You don't need to comment on women's bodies to be a part of this show.
Right. Like, don't like Jen. That's fine. I mean, I get that.
There's plenty of material there.
Right. Right. Like, I didn't like how he went in on that particularly.
Same.
Should we talk about the Met Gala lunch?
Yes. Do you want Louis Vuitton AirPods for Christmas?
No, I don't even want regular AirPods for Christmas. Sidetrack, AJ recently got us a pair of AirPods and I want to throw them in a large body of water. I hate them so much. Do you know what they remind me of? Do you remember in like the early 2000s when everybody had a Jawbone Bluetooth?
I still run into random middle-aged white men with those in their ears at the store.
Of course.
And I want to kill them.
That's the only people that ever had those in the first place.
But with their cell phone on their belt loop.
It reminds me of that. And there was this great stand-up. I can't remember who it was, but he did this whole bit of like them talking on their head. Anyways, that's irrelevant. But I can't stand them. I cannot stand them. I never know. They're constantly in his ears. I never know if he's talking to me, talking to Siri, talking to somebody on the phone. Like he's a talker anyway. So like he's constantly just like, I literally have to ask him multiple times a day, are you talking to me or are you talking to yourself? So like it's just now it's are you talking to me? Are you talking to yourself or are you talking to your AirPods? Like I can't stand them.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've talked to AJ on the phone before. I know. I feel your pain a little.
So I was triggered when I saw everyone got a pair of AirPods.
But they're Louis Vuitton.
I don't give a shit. I really did love the table decorations, though. I thought those were really pretty.
What did you think of the red carpet and the British guards?
I don't understand it.
It was just a lot, but Mary's kind of kooky.
But she's not like, okay. So like Sonia does kooky housewife the best. She's like number one in that spot.
Totally.
But Mary, and like Sonia's like kooky fun. Like it's just like just goofy and wacky enough that it's endearing. But with Mary, it's like concerning. It's not endearing her to me at all. I'm just
what do you expect from somebody who married their step-grandfather?
Well, I mean, obviously. Listen, I want more of it. I need to see more, but I'm not going to like her, which I don't think we're supposed to. But also, she has no idea what the Met Gala is.
No. That's actually a good segue into Heather. And she was like, I don't know if Mary knows that the Met Gala is a location.
Yeah.
The theme changes every year.
That was great. That was so good. But even like what Mary was wearing, like I've seen her wear more outlandish things in the other episodes. Like that was the calmest, most mainstream outfit she wore. And the Met Gala is the antithesis of that. So
I
don't know. But can we talk about Mary being offended by being called the grandfather fucker?
I mean, it's not nice, but it is true. So how offended could you be?
That cannot be the first time she's heard that. It can't.
God, no. Maybe it is, and people have just said it behind her back.
I mean, Utah. But I just feel like that you can't be that offended by that because... we know at least one time you have literally fucked your grandpa. So.
Right. Such a weird sentence to be saying out loud.
And her poor son, Mary's son, I just can't, I feel bad for him. But Heather, I'm loving Heather. I mean, obviously she's the best.
I knew you were going to say that. She is really great. And I, on the show, what did she do? She was very worried about her meal not being being saved for her while she escorted Jen out.
She made it a point to say, please don't clear my burger or my chicken lollipops.
Thank God. Somebody who shows that they eat on these shows.
Seriously. Well, and I really do think she is a really good friend. Like she said, like, yeah, I know Jen's crazy, but... I mean, I think she she's really taking the good with the bad with Jen. And yeah. I think like we can all see, like there's something good there that we want to know more about, but she's got a flair for drama. So,
I mean, who doesn't?
Nobody I know. All right. So I think we got something there. I'm invested, and not just because it's a pandemic. It's good. All right. Let's move on to Potomac.
Okay.
What are your question? Okay.
I have only been half-assed watching it since the fight.
Same.
I mean, it's still good. Like, I'll stick with it, but I find myself, like, on my phone more. I don't know why, though. I
enjoyed their trip to Portugal.
I was bored.
Yeah. I mean, like, I enjoyed it in the fact that, like, ooh, look, a new place that I've never been on my screen to look at while I'm still in my home. And I was not amused by what was the joke they kept making about the drink? Because it sounded like,
I don't know, it's probably on my phone.
I mean, how could you have missed it? They said it like 100 times. And I think the drink is called Poncha, and they were calling it.
Oh,
I can't. It's not a slang term in my normal vernacular, so I can't remember what it was, but I don't know. It's like, this is why people hate Americans. Could you please stop?
Right. Every time housewives are acting up abroad, I am just so embarrassed.
Yeah. Yeah, it has been a little sleepy. Okay. This is why I think Ashley is one of the best housewives, though, because she really has you on her side, and then she turns, and then you're back with her again, which I think is the hallmark of a really good housewife. You love them and you hate them just as much. And I have been loving Ashley this season. I love how open and honest she's being about not only breastfeeding, about her postpartum depression, about just like new motherhood and her shady ass husband. I feel like she's finally being real about that. And just for her to turn around and be shady as hell and take Monique's side. Well, let's back. Have we talked? I don't think we've talked about the fight yet. Let's back up and talk about that. Where do you stand on this fight now that it's all on the table?
I hate this. I think I'm on Candace's side. I don't agree with the lawsuit. I mean, you're on a show, like you both obviously instigated this, but I don't think, God, I don't know. I go back and forth.
Okay. I think if all names were redacted and you were just reading the facts of this situation, it's Team Candace, which I don't like her. I find her highly irritating and I don't want to support her, but I think she's right. I think she's right all the way down to the lawsuit.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. Because the way Monique came around the building.
Yes.
Like physically fought that poor little producer. I mean, yes, Candace is irritating and instigating and all of those things, but Monique also has some demons. Like, this is not her first Donnybrook on the show.
Well, that's what I was going back and forth about. Cause I mean, after the fact, Monique is coming off like, oh, my kids, like I can't, what if I go to jail and all this
stuff? Well, then maybe you should have thought about that before you grabbed someone's wig across the table.
There's some darkness in her.
Yeah, for sure. Well, remember Robin and the umbrella? Like, there's, okay. And I'm gonna bring this full circle here because Monique has this whole like not for lazy moms, and like her whole platform is basically like the antithesis of ours. That like if you just work harder, you can be better and perfect and do all the things, and everyone will be happy and everything's perfect. When everything's perfect, nothing can be wrong. And I mean, speaking from personal experience, the harder you lean into that viewpoint, the more shit is wrong with you. So
right, like, she has made the comments like about her husband and how she just puts that in a little box and puts it away. Like, I see that.
And I think she's really feeling the pinch now that they have the third kid, even with all the help she has. I think when it was just the two kids, she could do all the things and be the perfect wife, and they had the time. And now, I don't know, something is, I mean, not to speculate on somebody else's mental health, but maybe she is having a bit of a postpartum depression experience as well. I think that could potentially play a part in this. and maybe all the two times before she was able to handle it herself, and this third time it just, she's not able to, like, something is happening there.
Well, so, she had that drunk driving thing too in one of the earlier seasons after the second.
So, and she's, I think she's always been able to cover things up, because remember she got, it was Ashley that time too. Remember she, Ashley like uncovered it that she'd been drinking that whole lunch, and then she like smoothed it over for her. So I think this time in Candace, she can't get somebody to cover for her and like gloss it over, and somebody's actually holding her accountable, and now she can't buy it away. She can't, you know.
Yeah, and not to mention she is a QAnon supporter. So.
Oh, well, then there's that. Bye. Enjoy your charges.
See ya.
So yeah, that's why I think like if you take the people out of it and just see like the facts, like, yeah, I nobody should ever be able to get you to that point where you're physically responding. Yeah. And I really, it pains me to be Team Candace, but here we are.
Yeah, I can't even say it.
Okay, so then what do you, so then where do you think Ashley falls in all of this?
Well, the fact that Ashley is writing a statement in support of Monique is kind of crappy. And how she kept saying that it's not against Candace, it's in support of Monique, but it's literally the whole knife incident from last season recounted.
Well, but I guess that is also a point against Candace, that she does have the better knife incident. Why is there so much violence on this show?
That's one of the best scenes of all time.
Is. But then see, maybe Robin should write a statement in support of Candace then, because it's in support of Candace and not against Monique.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just...
Where does this stand in real time?
Do you know? I don't know. I was just thinking that. I don't know.
I have to look it up.
Well, and then we have the Grand Dame, who's playing both sides very poorly. She's not doing a good job.
Hey, let's talk about her wig party that she left
in a strip mall. Her wig party in a strip mall.
The back of a strip mall.
I didn't really understand that party, because it did seem like a really small cramped space, and it didn't seem like more people were coming. It just seemed like it was just the housewives and then her wig people.
Yeah. It was obviously for the show, right?
Oh, like, yeah.
She makes me laugh, at least. I know she's shady and...
Oh, yeah.
She's just...
Also... Please, Andy, if you're listening, no more scenes in a bathtub. I don't want them. Please make them stop.
I'm very sorry, but he is not listening to this.
Okay. Well, if somebody's listening who he would listen to, please don't. I can't, especially with elders. I can't do it.
Oh, my God. It was so much.
Please make it stop.
Which do you think was worse, Tamara and Eddie's scene or... the Grand Dame and Black Bill Gates?
I mean, if I had to make a choice, I'd say Tamara and Eddie's, because it was more produced. I mean, like, at least with Karen, I feel like there is, like, a genuine desire to reconnect and, like, reestablish her marriage. But
I don't want to see it.
Listen, I don't want to get into the specifics of how she's doing that.
No, but, thank you to geriatric sex. Thank you.
Yes. I mean, like, good for you. I hope she starts liking Ray's penis again. But I don't need to see that happen. I don't know. I think Karen's being shady as hell, but what's new?
Yeah.
Also, I need Giselle to break up with Jamal.
Oh, God, I know. I've said this before, but the fact that their own daughters together don't want this is a huge red flag. And she's just like, I don't care.
He's never going to move back to Potomac, to Washington.
No. Why would he?
No. And those, please don't move those girls to Atlanta. They don't want to be there. It's not a good situation. Giselle, run. All right. Anything else about Potomac?
I don't think so.
The season finale looks, I think we're going to get another physical altercation.
Oh, I didn't even watch the preview for that.
It's
I did.
It looks like they're setting it up as if it's Robin and Juan's re-engagement party. But then it looks like Juan either gets in a fight with or gets in the middle of a fight with Gollum. What's his name?
Michael.
Michael. Yes, thank you. Okay, let's talk Orange County.
Okay, pause. Let's talk all of the Southern California news before we jump into Orange County.
Okay.
So in this past week, there's been a lot of Bravo news.
A lot. It's been a very busy week.
Where do I even start? Oh, God.
Thank you. This is the kind of quick-paced news week that I need. This is
the only one I can whiplash. I know. Okay, so first of all, Erica Girardi
how can I forget?
Wrapped up in this, what are the charges? Embezzlement. Basically, her husband, who is the Erin Brockovich lawyer, has been funneling money from lawsuits into Erica Jane, pop star, is the alleged crimes, which is crazy because this could be like jail time for both of them.
They won't go to jail.
Well, because before this, their separation was announced, but now it's being said that they are divorcing to protect some of the money because this is coming out.
Okay, so that's the last thing I heard about them. I didn't hear all of these other charges.
Wow. Welcome.
There's a lot of news this week.
I know, it's crazy.
Okay. I mean, I don't not believe these things.
Well, and that's the thing, because there was always speculation, like, how does she fund this pop star career? Because, yeah, I'm sure it was semi-successful, but not, like, glam on every international trip they go on successful.
Right. Well, and here's the thing. I do think that Erica has it in her to do that, because there is that iciness in her, that like devoidness of emotion. Is devoidness a word? I don't know.
Sure.
Which would totally, let's steal some money. But she's not dumb though, by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
So she didn't just take all that money and put it like out there for everyone to see. That part doesn't track.
Oh, I didn't even tell you like the worst part of it.
Oh God.
The lawsuit settlement that this money, that these charges are coming from, are from victims of a plane crash.
Oh, God.
And those victims have not been paid. It's wild. You got to read about it.
Okay. I mean, I definitely think she has it in her, because she has, she always talks about she's grew up with nothing and she was poor and always wanted a bigger, better life. So, I see the greed in her to do that, but she's not stupid.
They have a chapel in their Pasadena mansion. Like, what? I know lawyers make a lot of money, but I don't know. It's wild. It'll be crazy to see how it plays out.
Well, here's the thing about rich people is that once they get a lot of money, it's very easy for them to turn that money into more money. So I don't think all of their wealth comes from just like him being a lawyer.
True.
I don't know. I don't see her like flaunting the money she stole in a pop career. Like, that just seems really dumb.
Well, hiding in plain sight.
But no, but that seems like a very obvious paper trail you could follow.
You need to read about it, because it's
okay.
I mean, it's not unfounded.
All right. Fuck. Okay.
So that's just number one.
Okay. Okay.
Also in Beverly Hills, Kathy Hilton and Kyle and Dorit are positive for COVID. Can you imagine Kyle right now with all of her phobia?
Okay.
It's not funny. I hope they're healthy.
Has anybody checked on the ear piercer that Kyle had come into her home in the last week or two? None of them wearing any masks. I mean, like, do we really need, if you haven't seen it, it's a picture of Kyle holding Portia's hand, surrounded by all the daughters, holding her hand because we have to do everything together in this family. Like, does Portia really need her ears pierced right now?
In a pandemic? They were all standing around her like she was getting anointed by the savior.
So hopefully she's not passed it on to every worker she's had in her home, but
sigh.
Also, I can't believe Kyle would, I mean, we know she has all of these anxieties, so why would she even put herself in a position to get it? That's interesting to me.
Yeah, I know. Next, further down the Bravo list of shit I care about, I don't know, Jax and Brittany are out of Vanderpump.
Yay! Adios!
They say they chose it. I don't believe that.
No, Jax is fired.
And he keeps, I don't know, alluding to having another project in the works.
No, no thank you. You are done. Goodbye.
Get off my TV. Move to Kentucky. Bye.
I have to read this tweet from Oh No Bravo. And if you are not following Oh No Bravo, O-H-N-O Bravo, you're missing out. So this was her tweet. And in the end, it was Bravo who blocked Jax Taylor. If you don't know, Jax has this thing on social media where anybody says anything even remotely against him, he just blocks him. And he's blocked everybody. He's blocked the cast on and off, random people. He's like known for blocking people. So Bravo got the last laugh and blocked Jax.
Bye. Okay. And then as we jump into OC, Bronwyn Wyndham Burke came out as a lesbian. If you haven't been watching, which I know a lot of people aren't, she has been battling alcoholism. She is in recovery and she just came out with this. I know it is confusing for a lot of people when she said she is staying married to her husband. I made the mistake of going through the comments on her Instagram, and a lot of people don't like it when you don't fit into a box. It's especially when they're on TV.
I think we are at a point in our society now where for a couple, one person in a marriage to come out after some years of marriage, I think that's kind of been normalized. But the part of like, I think after that, it's more of a gray area of like what happens after that. And I think the logical thing we think of is that, oh, then you're getting divorced so that you can go live that life. And I think it's great that that part's been normalized. So I think it's harder for people to wrap their heads around, which the way I see it, like, that's not for me to understand. I don't care. That's a decision you guys have made. And we know from what they've told us that they are more comfortable with open-ended things in their marriage. And that
if both people are happy and willing participants in the marriage, who gives
they have a shitload of kids. So whatever works for all of those children that they've created, whatever. I could care less.
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
I mean, I read it and I was kind of like, how does that work? But then I went about my day because I know.
You didn't go and comment angrily on her Instagram?
No, but what made me want to comment angrily on her Instagram was how she's out at freaking Maestro's, of course,
with Tamara.
Tamara and 100 other blonde OC bitches and not a fucking mask in sight.
I will never understand the restaurant thing right now. Why?
It's why we're going to be locked down again.
Forever. Oh, they are locked down again.
So I take more umbrage with that than I do with anything else that Bronwyn's doing. Because I feel like Bronwyn's been pretty like safe and cautious and logical up until Tamara. Which, why would you, if you're going to go hang out at a restaurant with people, why would you go with Tamara? Like,
oh God, I don't miss her. I'll tell you that.
No, but I don't necessarily think it's that much of a shock if you've been watching the season of OC, because when Bronwyn's oldest son, whose name I don't know, I want to say it's Max. I don't know what his name is.
I don't remember.
He has started cross-dressing, and I don't think he said anything more than that. Or, I'm sorry, not cross-dressing. He's been doing drag.
Mm-hmm.
And the way she talks about him, she's very open about how proud she is. But also, she seems almost to admire him for doing so and like being himself and doing what he wants. And like the way she's talking about him, it's almost got a hint of jealousy to it. So when she announced that, it all kind of like clicked for me. I was like, oh, that was, because she always framed it as the alcoholism and like he was making such a bold choice and it helped me make a bold choice to be sober, which we now ultimately know led to her coming out, which I think it all is clicking for me.
Yeah, for sure. I really like Bronwyn this season.
I do too.
I think it's brave to share all this on a show where, I mean, she said it, like she was the fun one because she was the drunk one, you know?
Well, and a requisite of the show is drunken debauchery. That everything centers around that. So
yeah. I am loving this season though. I'm loving it.
I really didn't want to. I went in very hesitantly because I didn't want to watch these idiot women live the start of COVID, which this last episode was really hard for me to watch. Watching Shannon hoard goods that she buys from
over
me.
Her table.
Yeah. Like that was just very like for me. I can't stand Shannon, probably because I am a little bit of a Shannon. So
I'm glad you recognize that.
But also, like, I didn't go out and clear out the OTC aisle of Walgreens. Like, I didn't hoard things.
I feel like she does that on a normal grocery trip.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, the way, like, I can relate to the way she was kind of, like, freaking out about having been in contact with Bronwyn's grandma, which I'm like, yeah. I mean, like, now we know that was a very logical concern.
But then she probably sounded extra crazy.
Right. Totally. But then it was also frustrating to watch Emily and Gina.
Oh my God. Make a mockery of it.
Yeah. So like, I kind of like kept vacillating between like, oh my God, you're ridiculous. And oh my God, wake up. So.
Well, hindsight's 2020, right? Like we know how it all plays out. And at the beginning, like I went to Mexico a week before we walked down. Like I didn't, you know.
Yeah. So I've been trying to keep like a very close eye on the timeline and of like what compare it to where I was at that point. Because I mean, we've recorded an episode the week before every like school shut down and everything shut down. And we were even like, it was our travel episode. We were like, joking.
What are we doing?
Yeah. I remember we were even joking of like, oh, like this will blow over. And so, I mean, like we really weren't that far off either. I scoffed right now at Elizabeth being like, oh, it'll blow over in 30 days. And because, I mean, at that point in time, I would have agreed with her. But also she's now currently on social media debating the efficacy of masks. So, I mean, like, you know, some of us have evolved and some of us have not. So
hey, when you know better, you do better.
Right. Or you're just.
Or like, you're stupid.
I don't do anything. So. I'm also in it to see how Gina lives in 1700 square feet with a horde of children.
And distance learning.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God.
So speaking of the beginning of COVID, I know you aren't watching this season, but Southern Charm, I'm pulled in because I had nothing else to watch and I didn't want to because I'd heard about all of the hubbub and controversy of this season. And we know that they're very uneducated white people on that show. I mean, it is what it is. Shep is an idiot. And anyways, so, but here I am watching it and they have also, they're like right at the same timeline as OC. And I have to say, I think more people on Southern Charm are taking COVID more seriously than the OC housewives.
I think that makes sense though, because they're on the East Coast where it got hit the hardest in that first wave.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, I don't know. So if you're on the fence about watching it, I would watch it because it's also timed with a lot of the social justice movement of the summer. And
how are they handling that?
Really well, I think so far, because Catherine is a Calhoun, a descendant of John C. Calhoun, who was a slaver, basically. And there was a huge statue of him in one of the parks in Charleston that came down. And then Catherine had that whole incident where there was the use of the monkey emoji with somebody on Instagram. And it's just been, and, you know, typical Catherine fashion. She's very flippant and, like, avoidant of it all. And, but they've brought on, so Cameron is gone. And do you remember her friend Leva? From, she had, like, been a friend of in past seasons. And she's now, like, a main character, main cast member, I guess. She's married to a Black man. She is Persian, I believe. She had a Persian dinner. So they own a restaurant in Charleston. So they've been affected by not only the COVID shutdowns, but also the racial reckoning. It's like all of this is happening for them. And she's like really vocal and she's holding Catherine really accountable for everything. Also Madison from Gwen's, no, is her name Madison? I don't know. You know, the dark haired one that works at Gwen's, the shop, they fired Catherine because of her comments. And she is like, so it's Leva, Gwen, we're going to call her, cause I don't know her name. And Danny. Danny's pissed at Catherine because Catherine has like ghosted her for like months. And they're like, I mean, it's obviously a very contrived conversation, but I think just the fact that on a show like that, in an area of the country like that, where they're even having these conversations openly with people of color, I think it was, I can see they're doing a lot of work and trying to make some positive change there for sure. So,
well, good. I'm glad to hear it. I'm still not going to watch.
And then there's also Austin getting COVID.
I didn't know he did.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. And then so Madison got pissed at him. And then there's Craig just like living his fucking life. And people yelling at him about making more pillows. And he's just like, meanwhile, his living room is just like littered with like things.
I do love Craig.
I can't help it. I love him. He's so dumb, but he's just so hot.
True story.
All right. Are you watching Below Deck at all?
I am, but it's another one where I'm like half-assed paying attention. I do like the new Stu, but she's no Kate.
No. Eddie is just like such a dad. Like I don't.
He's definitely sticks out like a sore thumb.
I'm not watching for your dad jokes, Eddie. I'm not. I don't know. The season's just kind of struggling, but I'm just going through the motions. I mean, all right, my last one that I'm going to talk about is Schitt's Creek. I'm like 4 episodes away.
I'm so jealous that you're still watching it.
I've been dragging it out for so long. When season 6 came out and I knew it was the last season, I made us start all the way back at the beginning to watch it all the way through. And I'm just, I can't, I'm going to be so sad. But
oh, good.
There's that new, is it a show or a movie? I don't know. I also can't remember what it's called, but it's on.
A show. I know, Happiest Season.
Yes. Yeah. So it's on Hulu. It's Dan Levy, Kristen Stewart, who I typically can't stand, but I think she'll be okay in this. And yeah. Oh, Mary Steenburgen. She's the mom from Step Brothers. Aubrey Plaza from Parks and Rec is in it. So that will be, once we finish Schitt's Creek, then we're going to go into Happiest Season because I need more Dan Levy in my life. Yeah. And I think it's a movie. So there is a movie out that I want to watch.
Hey.
All right. What have you guys been watching?
Well, we got HBO Max and it's like a 14-day trial or something like that, and so we're cramming in all the HBO shows that we've been wanting to watch. So the first one is The Undoing, which Tyler just grunted because, well, I don't want to give away any spoilers, but the ending is controversial. Why don't you
start telling us what it's about instead of telling us the
ending? Well, listen, that's why he grunted, because it was so good up to that point and then the ending's controversial. But so it's about a,
like Dexter?
No, it's like a husband and wife and they get caught up in this murder trial. The husband was cheating on the wife. The husband's Hugh Grant and Nicole Kidman is the wife, and they're very rich. And
wait, so is this based on a true story?
No.
Oh, okay.
This is fictional.
Oh, okay. I just assume it's another one of your Dateline true crime.
Sorry, should have made that clear. No, it's fiction. It might be based on a book, but it's really good. It's lots of twists and turns and kind of like not a thriller, but a mystery. I don't know. It's a drama. The only bad thing in it is Nicole Kidman wears this really terrible wig. It's like,
why?
I don't know. I don't know why they did that to her. It's just this huge amount of hair, and she has beautiful hair. Like, it's distracting. Overall, worth the watch, though.
Okay. I keep hearing a lot about it, but we haven't made the HBO Max plunge. So,
14-day free trial.
That's a lot of pressure.
And then we are also, at the same time as this, they're coming out with this 4-part documentary. This is based on a true story called Murder on Middle Beach. And this is a true story, and it is wrapped up with all the things we love: MLM schemes, murder. So this woman who got murdered, it's still unsolved, and the son is now grown up, and he's gone, like, he's had a hard life since this happened, and
since his mom was murdered, he had a hard life.
Right. Well, like, substance abuse stuff, but now he's clean, and he's making this documentary about his mom. And he's going back to, like, their old house. And there's this really touching part where obviously they got permission from the owners of the house now to film there. And turns out the owner of that house, she is a grief therapist. And there's this perfect chain of events kind of thing. And they have this conversation. It's crazy.
That sounds depressing as fuck.
But it's so good. And then he has a sister, and they have, I don't know, it's sad, but also the story of it and the whole MLM background. There's like shady, toxic family members involved.
What? It is Christmas time, goddammit. Watch something fucking cheery.
And then the last thing on HBO we're watching is Flight Attendant. It's Kaylee Cuoco's newest venture after 12 seasons on The Big Bang Theory. It's another like murder mystery type thing. But it's shorter. She's good in it. It has a weird release schedule. Like, 3 episodes came out. It's because of COVID. 3 episodes came out, and then we just got 2 episodes, and now we won't get the last episodes for a while. So I don't know what's going on there, but it's good so far. We're only a few episodes in.
That reminds me that we never saw the last season of The Big Bang Theory because we moved, and then all of our recordings got, oh no, that's what happened. We had DirecTV, and then we switched to Hulu, and we lost all of our recordings, and CBS is very stingy about where they stream their stuff.
Oh yeah. We got a CBS streaming thing for like a month to catch up on all that.
You might have to, because I need to know what happens to Sheldon.
Okay. You can watch Baby Sheldon or whatever.
I cannot get into that.
Okay, and the last thing, I mean, lest you think I'm only watching quality TV shows now, 90 Day Fiancé The Other Way Season 2 is out, and it is good. They brought that back.
I never finished Darcy and Stacey.
You're not missing much.
Here's my problem with TLC shows is that for some reason on Hulu, even though we pay for no commercials, we still have commercials, and some networks let you fast forward and some don't, and TLC does not let you fast forward, and those 90 Day Fiancé episodes are so freaking long as it is that when you can't watch them without commercials, it's such a slog, and it takes so long to get invested with the characters and like care about them that I can't sit through the character development and the commercials, and so I just give up.
You sound like a millennial.
I need it faster. Oh, yeah, the TV is not keeping me as busy as it used to, which I guess
there are some nights where, well, until we got HBO, where we're like, what are we gonna watch? And then we have to like slog through Netflix, find something we haven't seen.
I know, it's probably a sign to just like go to bed and get some sleep.
No, absolutely not.
I will persevere.
Read a book. Come on.
No, I don't have time for that. No.
Although I have been listening to books lately and I have plenty of time for that. Also, if you are looking for a book to listen to, I cannot recommend A Promised Land enough. Mm-hmm. Just listening to Obama read to you is like an antidepressant.
Like ASMR.
Yeah, it totally is. He needs to like do a collaboration with the Calm app or something because his voice is very soothing.
I just miss hearing him speak.
Well, listen to A Promised Land.
All righty.
Well, time to go search through Netflix again, find something new to watch.
Just a reminder, follow us on social media. We have a Facebook group, Okay as Moms group for wayward mothers.
Love it. If you could rate and subscribe, that helps us find new listeners or new listeners find us, whatever. It also just makes us feel good.
Make us feel good, please. All right.
Bye.
Have a good day. Bye. Have a good day.
If you like what you just heard, and we hope you do, you can find more of us online at www.okayestmoms.com. We're also on all social media platforms, Pinterest, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at Okayest Moms Blog. Or if you want to, you can send us an email at hey@okayestmoms.com.